بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم My most respected brothers and elders, mothers, sisters and listeners, Alhamdulillah, for the past three Mondays, we had been discussing the great personality of Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi Alayh. And I mentioned there is so much that could be said about these great personalities. What we are mentioning is just the tip of the iceberg. And we are mostly concentrating on his akhlaq, his character, his adherence to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, aspects relating to his ibadah, his salat, how punctual he was, his generosity, his big heart he had, the large heart he had, how he fed people, whether it was the poor, whether it was the rich, whether it was ulama, mashayikh, he always saw to his guests, the tilawat of the Quran he would make, his tahajjud salah, and his tolerance and forgiveness despite going through such pain, suffering, and the way people treated him, those who opposed him, he made sabr. And what was his response to them, how he forgave them. Then we mentioned his karamat, beautiful aspects of his life were mentioned. So very briefly for the next 1 or 2 minutes, just a summary of some what others have written, just a gist. And this, of course, doesn't pertain now to his akhlaq and his character and attributes, but his general biography. Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, he's known as Shaykhul Islam. I mentioned to you, his ustad, his shaykh was Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Alayh. And he was given the title of Shaykhul Islam. So he hails from Allah Dadpur in the district of Faizabad. He was born 19th Shawwal, 1296 after Hijri. In English, 16th October, 1879. It's important to know some of these dates because then you'll know the age differences in these Buzrugani Deen. Somebody asked me after one program before me, Manana, who was in age, who was elder, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali or Hazrat Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali? So it was Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he was elder than Hazrat Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali. Nonetheless, 1879. He was a Husseini Sayyid. In other words, he belonged from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his lineage goes to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, then to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father was a very noble saint, while his mother was Arabia Basriya for time. I mentioned this last week. So he came from a very, very pious family. And she was meticulous, his mother, in her obedience to Sharia. Extremely forbearing and spent all her time in devotions, in ibadah. Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Alayh was initially educated by his father. He learned the first 5 paras of the Quran from his mother. So you can see the mothers of those time, what role they played in the tarbiyat of the children who became great awliya Allah. He was sent to Darul Uloom Deoband at the age of 13. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali immediately recognized the excellent qualities of this youngster and personally taught him the initial subjects. Allah makes it such. Awliya Allah, they see sometimes a young person. From the face of that young boy, they make out, this boy is a bit different from others. And inshallah, he'll become very pious. So then they gave their full tawajjuh and attention to this particular child. So exactly that, Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, his name was Shaykhul Hind, but his name was Mahmud al-Hasan Rahmatullah Ali. So he saw Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali, and he made out this boy is somebody who's going to turn out to be very great. So he taught him the initial subjects himself. Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah was most fortunate in achieving the attention of all the great teachers of that period. Amongst them who were Mawlana Zulfiqar Ali, Mawlana Khalid Ahmad Saharanpuri, Mufti Aziz Rahman, Mawlana Habibur Rahman, great giants of the time, or great ulama and mashayikh of the time. He always excelled in all his subjects. In a period of 6.5 years, he completed studying all 17 subjects, which comprise of 67 kitabs. In 1316, we're talking about Islamic date, after Hijrah, he emigrated with his father to Medina Munawara. Here he got the opportunity of benefiting tremendously from two big important libraries of the time. The library of Shaykhul Islam and the library of Mahmudiyya. He completed his Arabic studies under the guidance of the renowned scholar of the time, Shaykh Afandi Abdul Jalil Rahmatullahi Alayh. Immediately upon completing his course, he began teaching. And within a short while, his fame spread. And students from far and wide began pouring in to quench the thirst of deen. During the entire day, he only rested for 3 hours. And you would recall I mentioned that Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah himself would hardly sleep. And especially in Deoband, the amount of people would come and ask him different questions and see queries, and he would see to all of them. He would hardly sleep. And you would recall the incident I mentioned that he went to Saharanpur to Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, let me come and relax here. But even then too, he, as though he had control over his sleeping pattern, and he would make sure that he doesn't oversleep. So here, during the entire day, he only rested for 3 hours, while the remaining time was devoted to teaching and ibadah. In this manner, he managed to teach 14 to 15 lessons daily. Now that is like double the amount of normally what you teach in a madrasa. Person will teach 7 periods or 7 kitabs, or maybe a little bit more. But he would teach 14 to 15 lessons daily. And these lessons comprise of hadith, tafsir, aqidah, principles of hadith. Allah granted him such respect and honor in Hijaz. Hijaz is Arabia, which the ulama of Syria and Yemen could not even command that type of respect at that time. At the age of 24 years old, he was given the title of Shaykhul Arab wal Ajam, the Shaykh of the Arabs and non-Arabs, 24 years old. During the conflict of Sharif Hussein, the ruler of Hijaz, with Turkey, the English issued a warrant of arrest for Shaykhul Hind, that was the Ustad. Sharif was influenced by the British, and Shaykhul Hind, together with his companions, Mawlana Hussain Muhammadni and Mawlana Uzair Gul, rahmatullahi, were arrested and sent to Malta as a prison. They remained imprisoned on this island for approximately 4.5 years. 4.5 years. Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah memorized the Quran during his imprisonment. And he got the ideal opportunity to serve his ustad. Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, who was at that time very old and sickly, was unable to use cold water. The prison, they had cold water, as hot water was not available on the island nor in the prison. Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali used to fill a pot of water, obviously cold water, at night and keep it against his chest and stomach so that in the night the heat that comes off his body would warm that water. Imagine taking some cold water and placing on your chest and trying to sleep. Why he did this? So as to warm the water till the time of tahajjud, which he would present to his ustad to make wudu. And after a very long period, did the prison authorities, when they saw all this, obviously they realized these people were not small people, they were great people. So they made some arrangements for hot water for him. After Maulana Madani Rahmatullah was released from prison, he returned to India at a time when the Indians were seeking independence from the oppressive English. He joined the Congress Party, and he played a leading role in liberating India. Until today, you'll find that there is no doubt about Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah's role in liberating India from the British. He had to endure much hardship during his political career, and he was often imprisoned. The severity of punishments meted out by the British did not dampen his spirits, and he made concerted efforts until India was liberated. He spent his entire life serving the cause of deen. Even during the last days of his illness, He performed salah with congregation. I mentioned so many examples in where he did not forgo his salah to jamaat. And although he became extremely weak, he performed all his salah in a standing position, including his sunnah and nafil. Passed away 13 Jumad al-Ula, 1377 AH, which is corresponding to 1957. So, 1957 he passed away, and we said he was born 1879. It's approximately about 80 years that was his life in this world. Inshallah, today, of course, as I said, Hussain Ahmad Madi, rahmatullah alayhi, there were so many people who really benefited from these programs that we had regarding him. Many of them said, we got attachment to these mashayikh and buzughan al-deen, alhamdulillah. And of course, the main thing, just not to hear some story and some history and some biography, just to forget or just to hear something. But the main thing is to implement these beautiful teachings that we see, what they had in their life. And they had who in front of them? The asatizah, the mashayikh, the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and mostly, of course, most importantly, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what we need to bring in our life. That look at these people, they didn't live like 2 centuries ago. They were recent for us. So we can also try and emulate the beautiful aspects, how they understood Quran and Hadith and Sunnah and what respect they had. And look at the understanding and look at the attachment to Quran and Hadith and how they would make amal. And that's the most important thing. Tonight, inshallah, I hope to speak about Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, I think first I'll just give a brief biography about him before we go into some detail of his akhlaq, etc. His birthplace is Gangoh. Many people who have traveled to India, they will know Gangoh is an old village of the district of Saharanpur. This just reminds me that another very great, great alim passed away today. Hazrat Maulana Salman Saab, rahmatullahi alayh, from Mazahirul Uloom, Saharanpur. He was the son-in-law of Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullahi alayh. Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullahi alayh, all of us have heard of him many times. Many of us saw him, alhamdulillah, when he came to Stanger. Maulana Salman is one of his son-in-laws. So, Maulana Salman, rahmatullah, used to perform the Taraweeh Salah in Stanger in that Ramadan when Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullah, made itikaf in Stanger. 20 rakats, entire month, Maulana Salman used to perform Taraweeh. And he came to many times to our place. He had come to our madrasa also. Ajib, when he came that time, he was speaking on Sahaba, and every second minute he was just like crying. He's also the father-in-law of Hazrat Maulana Saad Sahab of Nizamuddin, Damat Barakatuhum. And these people lived, the entire family, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, his whole family, his son-in-laws, his daughters, his grandsons, his children, all are, you know, come from such a pious family. Ajib. No, Maulana Salman passed away today. You can see one after the other. These are not ordinary people. Believe me, if you only know these people, if you have met these people, you know what type of people have left this world. May Allah make his maghfirat. May Allah give him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah give his family his sabri jameel. So we're talking about Saharanpur. So Gangoh is an old village in the district of Saharanpur. Situated approximately 16 miles from Saharanpur, it has been the birthplace of many a devout saint. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayh was born in Gangoh, 6th Dhul Qa'dah, 1244 AH, in the house of his father, Maulana Hidayat Ahmad Saab rahmatullahi alayh, and he was from the lineage of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. I'm sure the youngsters also know who was that. Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, he is the Sahabi in whose house Rasulullah stayed when Rasulullah came to Medina. Plus minus 6 months, Rasulullah stayed in the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. He was so fortunate that he entertained Rasulullah like this. Education, he obtained his initial education from Miyaji of Gangoh. Thereafter, he learned Arabic and Farsi under Maulana Inayat Sahib. Father is Hidayat and is Ustad Inayat Sahib. And Mullah Muhammad Taqi Sahab, rahmatullahi. In 1261, he traveled to Delhi. And those days, they should go to Delhi in search of ilm. He studied some books by Qadi Ahmaduddin Punjabi, rahmatullahi, for a few days, after which he presented himself in the service. I listen to this person's name, Mawlana Mamluk Ali Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. Mawlana Mamluk Ali Sahab, rahmatullahi. Here he began studying with great devotion. Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi, rahmatullahi, another very great wali, inshallah, we speak about him also. He had already reached Delhi, and he was already in the khidmat and studying from Mawlana Mamluk Ali. So now Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, he reaches Delhi. He guesses Ustad, Mawlana Mamluk Ali, rahmatullahi alayh. And before he could go there, Mawlana Qasim Nanotwi, rahmatullahi alayh, is already there. The two are now in the same class. They are friends. After a few days, these two pinnacles of knowledge and virtue, they came together and remained companions until death. They stayed in the company of Mawlana Mamluk Ali rahmatullahi for a long period, during which they studied thoroughly and mastered all the difficult works. Just as a hafiz, he recites Quran, verbatim, like that they knew the kitabs. Both students became famous in Delhi for their intelligence and quick-wittedness. It was for this reason that they were adored by the asatiza, especially Mawlana Mamluk Ali rahmatullahi. If they became ill, the students, Mawlana Mamluk Ali is the ustad, he will go to visit them and teach them in their own rooms. It is amazing to note that Mawlana Rashid Ahmad rahmatullahi Gangohi only spent 4 years in Delhi, yet he achieved such a vast amount of ilm and knowledge. Undoubtedly he was extremely intelligent, but he was also very diligent. He used to be so engrossed in his studies. I wish our madrasa students had heard this. He used to be so engrossed in his studies that he's got his kitab and he's busy studying. If someone came and placed some food, and after some time they see Mona not even eating, they took it away, he would not even know that somebody brought food and even took it away. There was not the time of cell phones. Person got his Quran and he's playing with his cell phone. So, on many occasions, listen to this, on many occasions, it so happened that whilst reading some kitab, late part of the night, he slept away. And in the morning he would realize that he did not have his supper even. This shows the diligence they had. They studied diligently. They had no time for any other thing. Graduation. Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi said in hadith, under the final lamp of the Waliullah family, this is all history. And we don't know who Shah Waliullah rahmatullahi alayhi, we don't know who's all his. So we won't appreciate, but in any case, just remember this, that Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi studied hadith under the final lamp of Waliullah family, namely Shah Abdul Ghani Muhaddith Dihlawi. Shah Abdul Ghani Muhaddith Dihlawi rahmatullahi alayhi. That the Waliullah family also were great, great awliya of Allah, and in the field of hadith, especially they were masters. Mawlana Gangohi Ramajullah had completed all his formal education and returned home. During the same year, he married his cousin, his uncle's daughter. Uncle, Mawlana Muhammad Taqi Sahab, who also taught him. Daughter at that time was 15 years old. Father was his teacher and pious servant of Allah. After Mawlana's return from Delhi, the strong desire to teach someone. In fact, I will mention from the other kitab also. After he got married, he learned the Quran by heart. He was not a hafiz before that. He did his hifz after he got married. And then immediately after that, he performed tarawih. So he had a strong desire. I learned knowledge. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنُ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you who learns Quran and teaches to someone. So Allah Ta'ala fulfilled this urge that he had. And a student by the name of Sayyid Mu'min Ali came to him and he studied by him. There's the incident about medicine, Hikmat, Hakim. Once when his mother's aunt fell ill, his uncle and also his father-in-law, Mawlana Muhammad Taqi Sahab, rahmatullah, was a Hakim. How we have doctors, they had Hakims. Attended to her, but their condition didn't improve. So, his mother's aunt, She was sick. She told Mohan Gangohi Ramatulali. And at that time, he was only 22 years old. And he was already a learned person. She told him, "Bhai, find some cure for this illness." Her request encouraged him to study hikmat. That was the ancient art of medicine. After studying for a while, he formed an opinion about her illness. And he tells his uncle, his father-in-law, Muhammad Taqi Sahib, rahmatullahi, that this is what I think, this is her problem. This is my diagnosis. His uncle, knowing this youngster's sharp-wittedness, was forced to ponder and eventually expressed his ecstasy over the diagnosis, which was correct, and they managed to get the medicine, and she was recovered. She recovered. From this incident, his fame spread, and people with all kind of ailments and sicknesses began flocking to him from far and wide. He surpassed all the hakims of his time and did a great service to community. He continued practicing as a hakim until his son, Mona Hakim Mas'ud Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullahi, qualified as an expert in the field and continued in his father's footsteps. Bayat, on one of his journeys to Thana Bhavan, he met the great spiritual mentor Haji Imdadullah. Remember this, Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah. He is the main person. All these others we're discussing, they all finally go to him. Either they studied, either they got bayat directly from him, or somebody who was a murid or khalifa of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi. Inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq, we speak of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi. Inshallah. But at least hear these people's names. Tanzilu Rahma in the Dhikri Salihin. In my words, great awliya Allah. In the past, they should say, Allah's rahmat comes down when you take the names of pious servants. When you take the name of Sahaba, Allah's rahmat will come. Of course, imagine Rasul some name you take, how much rahmat will come. And like that, all the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we take the name even, Allah's mercy comes. So he went to Thana Bhavan, where he met Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi, to whom he took bayat. And after taking the bayat, he began making dhikr. And then, so actually he had been just to meet Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi and to spend a couple of days. But so happened, he spent one whole chilla, as we say. In fact, he spent 42 days. He went just to meet him. But Ajib, he was so attracted by Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi, he remained in that khanka. And after 42 days, then he leaves. And when he leaves, listen what Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi tells him, "Mia Rashid Ahmad, Allah has granted you the favor which He granted me. And now whatever Allah gave me, Allah has given you. Now it is your duty to increase it." And I heard from our elders that Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi is sitting, serving his sheikh, and that is Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi. There were other ulama sitting there, Mawla Muhammad Rahmatullahi and Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Rahmatullahi. They were all, we say, peer bais of Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi. So they were bed to one sheikh. So two, three of them were sitting on the Dasar Khan, they were having some meal. So Rashid Ahmad Gangohi is sitting like quietly, he's a student, he's the murid, and they're eating. So one of them remarked, "Are told Haji Imdadullah, bas unko bhi khilao, give him something to eat." Not giving him anything. Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullah took one piece of roti and put something, and he gave it. "No, you don't even deserve this." And put it in his hand. And he just watched from the corner of his eye, what is the reaction of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi? Is he getting angry? Is he getting upset? Is he feeling embarrassed that my sheikh is telling me in front of these people like that? He doesn't even deserve this much too. But then I take. He said he took it, and happily he ate it. And he told his sheikh, "Really, I don't even deserve, but from your hand I'm getting this. It means so much to me." Something to this effect. And then he began eating. That was a test from Haji Imdadullah Rahmatullahi. To see, has Rashid Ahmad Gangohi really benefited from my company or not? Has he annihilated his nafs? Has he made kasar of his nafs? Or has he still got pride and arrogance in him? No. He's broken. He's got complete tawazu in him. Upon that the Sheikh gives him Khilafat. You are my Khalifa. So after 42 days, he asks permission to return home. The time of bidding him farewell, Haji Imdadul Rahman grants him Khilafat. And he says, if anyone requests you to take pledge at your hands, take bayat to you, let him do so. It's mentioned, Haji Murashid Ahmad Gongohi Rahmatullah Ali, his tabiat was not that he must make people murids, but the ustad's advice. In fact, he asked him, Hazrat, who will come to me? Who's going to come to a person like me? Haji Imdadul Rahman said, don't worry about who's going to come to you. You do as I'm telling you. He knew, he could see that Murashid Ahmad Gongohi Rahmatullah, what a man he'll be and how, what beneficial he'll be to the people. And he says, anyone asks you to take bayat at your hands, let him do so. After achieving this great bounty of Allah Ta'ala, he returned to Gango and he re-inhabited the Khanqa of Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahman. That was another very great person who passed away before that. And that Khanqa was lying empty for more than 300 years. Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahman. Don't make a mistake with Murashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahman. Shah Abdul Quddus Gangohi Rahman passed away long before them. There he spent day and night in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His dedication was unsurpassed. Even during his old age, he was punctual in all his devotions to such an extent that observers used to have pity for him. He used to fast during the day, perform 20 rakats, not taraweeh, awabeen after maghrib. We read 3 faraz, 2 sunnat, we go on home. Sometime maybe the 2 sunnat we're not reading, Allah forgive us. They didn't treat only this, only faraz we have to do and no, everything. So 20 rakats he used to read after maghrib, in which he used to recite 2 paras. On his way home and whilst waiting, he used to recite several portions of the Quran. At 2 a.m., he used to rise for tahajjud. Some people even saw him making wuzu at 1 a.m., tahajjud. He used to occupy himself to 2.5 to 3 hours in tahajjud salah. May Allah give all of us tawfiq like this. He was an imam of fiqh and hadith of his era. He was thoroughly versed in all subjects. You'll see, I'll mention inshallah, that the ulama of his time would regard him as the Abu Hanifa of the time. Imagine, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah, you know what a faqih he was. And you will see, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi is like the Abu Hanifa of our time. So he taught various kitabs that we study in the madrasa, Hidayah, and then besides that, he taught the Siha Sitta. Siha Sitta is Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Nasai, Ibn Majah. The 6 authentic kitabs. He taught these kitabs. Now if Allah gives us tawfiq, we teach bits and parts from this kitab or that kitab. But here, he taught virtually all the Siha Sitta himself. And from his students, however, it suffice to mention some of his outstanding students as a measure of his perfection. Talking about who? Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi's students. People like Sheikh ul Hind Rahmatullahi. Maulana Mahmud al-Hasan. Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi. Mawla Abdul Rahim Rai Puri Ramatullah. Mawla Hussein Ahmad Madi Ramatullah. So Mawla Hussein Ahmad Madi Ramatullah, one of his asatiza is Mawla Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Ramatullah. His spiritual mentor, his Sheikh, Haji Imdadullah Ramatullah, praises him. And listen to this, your Sheikh, and not ordinary Sheikh, these are real. He said, if Allah asked me what I have brought, the day of Qiyamah, kya laya? Then in reply, I would say, I brought Maulvi Rashid Ahmad and Maulvi Qasim Nanotvi. Imagine the Sheikh have such intimate on such students. He said, I brought these two people. Like Maulana Shaharun Kashmiri Ramatullah, he's mentioned about him. On the day of Qiyamah, Anwar Shah, kya laya? He said, I put Shabir Ahmad Usmani in front. Ya Allah brought him. That was his student. Maulana Shabir Ahmad Usmani, Rahmatullah Ali. Allah give all of them, make their qabras Munawwar, Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu. On one occasion, he said, Maulvi Rashid Ahmad and Maulana Qasim Nanotwi embody all internal and external sciences. Their companionship should be sought, because men of their caliber are very rare in this age. When the dreadful incident of 1857 terminated, the British government hanged or executed any person on whom it had any doubts. Consequently, warrant of arrest was issued for Hadim Dadullah Rahmatullahi, Maulana Qasim Nanoti Rahmatullahi, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi. Hadim Dadullah migrated to Makkah, whilst Maulana Qasim Nanoti and Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi went to hiding. However, due to some spies, as is normal, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi was arrested and imprisoned in the notorious Saharanpur jail. Finally, due to lack of evidence, he was acquitted. The government did not harm him in the least. This was probably due to the fact that the service of Deen was predestined for him. He wrote Fatawa Rashidiyya and several other works. It's difficult to explain now, but many times, especially in hadith, sometimes we can't understand the full meaning of a certain hadith. And we look at Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah's works and his commentary, then you find the answer in such a nice, beautiful way. So these people were real, you know, they were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ilm they had. So he says, thousands of ulama and mashayikh quenched their thirst at this well of knowledge and piety. He finally passed away on 6th Jumada Thaniya, 1323, 11th August, 1905. Inshallah, just one or two aspects regarding Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, with so many things to mention and there's so much written about them. Just one or two, inshallah, we already passed. Just another 5 minutes, inshallah. So, regarding some of the incidents that we can benefit from, inshallah. When we talk about these mashayikh, I mentioned their love for sunnah and their akhlaq, the level of perfection, firmness and steadfastness, istiqamat, which they had in their lives was because they emulated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They emulated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such qualities are yet to be witnessed in this present century. The zeal and enthusiasm with which he followed the smallest of sunnahs was never heard of anywhere else. And he possessed intense love for Sharia and for Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'm not going to mention everything that's written, but just a few aspects. It is said that Hazrat Imam Rabbani, they called him, Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, his movements, his living, his clothing, manner of sitting, manner of walking, became like naturally modeled according to the impeccable way of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he had husnul khuluq. It was always his practice to enter the masjid with which foot? The right foot. And to exit with the left foot. So it was always his practice, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, enter the masjid with the right foot and exit with the left foot. Now people who were watching him all the time, his close observers, would check now. They want to see whether he fulfills the sunnah of coming out of the masjid correctly with the left foot first and then the right foot. So the left foot is going to come out, but at the same time he has to put his shoes on and the right foot has to go in first, that is sunnah, and then the left foot. Now how is he going to do this? He has to come out of the masjid with left foot first, then the right foot, but at the same time his shoes are there and he has to put his right foot first. So they were watching to see how he's going to practice on the sunnah, this sunnah. So such as stepping out of the masjid with the left foot first and wearing the shoe of the right foot first, they would see him step out with the left foot, placing his foot on his left shoe, then removing the right foot from the masjid, and wearing his right shoe first. The left foot, which was had been placed on the left shoe, would then be raised, and he would then wear his left shoe. So, now, you and I, maybe, we don't take so much of heed to all this. We come out of the masjid with any type of, whether it's right leg or left leg, we don't even worry, and our shoes also. But here we find every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what we need to bring in our life, inshallah. When he commenced walking, start with his right leg. This practice was probably never neglected throughout his life, and no one ever heard of him practicing upon it differently. If a person is so strict in following the Sharia in such minor practices, and he's so consistent in carrying out mustahab acts, what can be said about his emulation of the sunnah? So, Mawlana Mufti Ashiq Ilahi Mirati Rahmatullahi says, if anyone was to ask me about Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Ram's character and qualities, I would have no answer apart from this, that his character was an emulation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his quality was absolute steadfastness to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, one day, Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi alayhi made the following statement amongst his people. He said, brothers, I have something to say. And Allah knows fully well why I am saying it. In other words, I'm not saying out of pride. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala makes them say certain things for the benefit of the people. And as much as they would conceal all these good qualities they have, but because of benefit of people, then they are compelled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say it. So he said, I'm merely expressing the truth. He says, my way is the way of the Sahaba. Remain steadfast in it. Do not let it slip by. To be able to say this, that my way is the way of Sahaba, that means all, every aspect of his life, he was so careful that he mustn't miss out anything, any sunnah of his life. He has to be as perfect as possible. So anybody who looks at it, Mawlana, you did this wrong, that wrong, they can't even find any faults. That he was so particular in following the sunnah of Rasulullah. So some days a person, he was a police inspector in Peshawar, by the name of Asad Ali Saab. He says, Allah guides who he wants. He says, when a desire for a sheikh entered my heart, I must have one sheikh. He says, I left no region in India unturned in my quest. I took leave from my job. I went from Bengal to Madras, Deccan, Punjab, Sarhad, Afghanistan, Bombay, central parts of India. I met countless Sufis, but did not find what I was searching for. What was he searching for? Total adherence to Sunnah. I eventually lost hope and returned because my leave had almost come to an end. Upon my return, I reached Muzaffarnagar. Coincidentally, I overheard a fellow traveler on the train speaking about Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. A slight thought entered my mind. I felt, well, there's no harm if I went to Gangohi as well. I presented myself to Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, and my dense heart opened up immediately. My despair changed into hope. This was because I had found that which I had been searching for in every action and habit of his. In fact, it was even beyond what I had been searching for. In a matter of few hours, the purpose of my lengthy journey was fulfilled. I requested bay'ah. All thanks is due to Allah Ta'ala. My request was not refused. I cannot describe the effect which the bay'at had on me and still has on me to this day. So these were the Allah wala, that how people change their lives in the company. It is mentioned, there's one more inshallah. And this we find even Imam Hussain Ahmad Madina Maturari, on numerous occasions during my student days, I saw him exercising patience when confronted by wrong actions of students. I know any person who studied madrasa, you see, you get some students very naughty and they keep on troubling the others. At times, some students would commit inappropriate actions which were against Hazrat's tabiat and temperament and which other Maulvis would not have tolerated. Most often, Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi would come to know of such actions. However, when conducting his lesson, the attention and focus with which he treated all his students would remain the same. This is Kamal. He would not in the least exhibit any disinclination or inattention towards the disrespectful student. Consequently, the student would regret his action on his own accord. He would retract, repent over his inappropriate action, and he become a good, pious student. During this lengthy stay of mine, I never saw Hazrat, not even on a single occasion, becoming angry with any student or khadim, scolding him or reproaching him. Even during those days, the obstinacy of opponents had reached such a level that they would become insolent, and that they would make insolent rude statements against Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullahi. They used to write these statements and post them to Hazrat. Hazrat would read these remarks himself. Sometimes he would tell his khadim to read it out to him. And then he would say, I take an oath, a qasam upon Allah. Mawlana Mirati says, I never saw a single trace of grief or anger upon his face. I never heard Hazrat uttering a single word against them. The most he would say, may Allah guide him. At times he would smile, turn his face away. I have not come across such a high level of magnanimity anywhere else. And I mentioned probably last year or some majlis where it is mentioned about people who would write to him. Particularly one person would write very nasty comments, ugly, ugly words, abusive and hurtful comments. And Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah should make that khadim read out those letters, because towards the end of his life, he lost his sight. He was blind. He couldn't read himself. So several months went past. One day, Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah tells that khadim, bhai, hamara dost ka khat nahi aa raha hai. Our friend, we should always sway him. I see his letter is not coming. Is everything okay? Anything happened to him? Khadim said, Hazrat, his letters were coming. So what happened? So we didn't read it out to you because of the very nasty and hurtful remarks against you. Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah became upset. No. He said, read it out to me. And listen what he's saying. He said, perhaps he's mentioning some things there which could be some weakness in me. Genuinely, I am guilty of those weaknesses. So then I must make Islam myself. And what I'm not guilty of, then I make sabr and ignore it. Nothing. In fact, we'll see, inshallah. Where sometimes people told him such things, the murids, generally, murids get angry very quickly. Hazrat, we have to take revenge, we have to do this. Gangohi Rahmatullah said, no, don't do that. Don't waste your time in these things. He said, imagine the time you will spend now in replying to all these statements of these people who are writing nasty things. You could have made zikrullah in that time. How much more beneficial it would be. This is sabak for myself, for all of us, especially in this zamana also. Do things that are positive. Allah Ta'ala takes care of this. A person who reads Fajr Salatul Jamaat, he is in the special custody of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Hadith says, don't interfere with this protection Allah has given this person. Because then you're interfering in the protection that Allah has given somebody. And you interfere with him, Allah will sort you. Allah will seek you. And when Allah gets a person, then there's no escape from Allah's punishment. May Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, give all of us tawfiq to understand these beautiful lessons of these Ahlullah. These are our akabir, our elders. And as I mentioned, they followed the Salaf al-Salihin, they followed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu bima'in, and of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Quran and Sunnah, and they applied this in their lives, and that is why Allah Ta'ala gave them such honor, such izzat. And Allah Ta'ala used them for the khidmat of his deen, such efforts and such sacrifices they made that you and I cannot even imagine. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك